trees. And now if you would go in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We began a lesson there, and I trust we'll be able to finish even today. Not positive about that, never am, but talk about that member that's in your mouth, the little wiggly guy. And he's used to eat and everything, but he's used to talk as well. And so Proverbs 10, verse 19 has been our launching verse. The Bible says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So refraining, holding back the tongue, that's good. That's good. You're like pulling the reins in, you know. Slow down, horsey, because the tongue is a very busy, busy member, and it can be. And the Bible's warning us in the multitude of words. In other words, the rambly, the excess, the flippant, all the kinds of words that come out of our mouth, we're responsible for. And we'll be held accountable, according to Matthew 12:36. And for every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So words matter to God, what we communicate. And in the multitude of words, it says, there wanteth not sin. It simply is a phrase that's saying there's no lack of the opportunity to sin. With the same tongue, we can praise people, encourage people, commend people, and we can cut them down too. We can lie about them. We can ruin their reputation. The power of the tongue. Now, we went through a lot of verses last week that spoke about the power of the tongue. We'll not visit that again, but in truth, the tongue is powerful. Now, there's no sin in use of a cell phone camera, texting, twittering, Facebooking, however the user can make it sinful. These technologies for communication are extensions of the tongue, okay? So that means that any verses in the Bible that God has given to us for our help that apply to the tongue apply into general communication. And that includes all of our technology, particularly the cell phone. So these warnings as we go through the Bible, we saw a number of them last week. We'll look at some more this week. We're to keep in mind that it isn't just what leaves my tongue, but even what I text, okay, email, communication in general. All the instructions and admonitions that the Bible gives us regarding the tongue apply. So we should be very, very careful and cautious. We are told in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Nothing bad. See, nothing corrupt, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Okay, so it's good stuff that's supposed to come out. Okay, now review back this past week. We had a lesson last week. How'd you do this past week with that tongue? Was there anything that came out that shouldn't have come out? If we're honest, we might have to say, well, there was one thing I said I shouldn't have said, you know. It does require constant care, consideration. It requires Christian maturity, selflessness. When pride gets into the picture, well, the tongue can roll. We need to be very, very careful. So anyways, we have these admonitions in the Word of God that are very, very helpful. We looked at a few last week, one regarding the excess of words. Don't ramble. Don't in the multitude of words. There wanteth not sin, the Bible says, right? There's no lack of the opportunity. Guard against idle words. These are the careless words, thoughtless words. We don't think before we speak. And boy, those can be very hurtful if we're not careful. You can't unring a bell. You say certain things, and all of a sudden you're thinking somebody's, oh, I didn't know he was there, she was there. Well, you shouldn't have said it. And we're all guilty at times. But great instruction from God. You know why God puts all this in the Bible? Help you. You know what we do with our kids? Tell them, don't say that. You could hurt their feelings. Okay? We teach our children for their protection and that they might be a blessing. God wants the same thing out of his children. To protect ourselves, to protect others, their reputations and everything. And to be a blessing, right? That we might edify, to the use of edifying. All right, so we talked about Christ being an example, and we looked at how he spoke, and even when he was crucified, that he did not revile, Peter tells us, against them. He controlled, he refrained. And what wisdom that is for us. We're to guard against words without background, context. Be very careful. We get the whole story. The illustration we use about the dad and the two kids. You know, one says he did it, she did it. They're back and forth, back and forth. Get all of the facts before we speak. That's an area of life. So before you put the tongue in gear, put the brain in gear. Get all the facts. Think it through before speaking. Then we're able to speak with wisdom. And God can bless it. God against words spoken hastily. Talked about that. You know, no time to think before. Words spoken in anger. How horrible that can be. Talk about unringing a bell. And usually when you're angry and words are flying out of your mouth, the bell's ringing like crazy. You can't unring all those things. You can say you're sorry later, but it's not the same as having not spoken them at all. God's helping us. Giving us instruction, helpful in the Word of God. Guard against words in anger. Guard against words in public that should be kept private. There are some things that are told in confidence that should not be shared with others. Certain relationship words. Not to be shared all over the world. Be wise. Be discreet. Be discreet. Guard against words. Okay, here's now we're starting our new one here. We didn't get to this one. We're at number 8. And guard against words regarding other people's business. Other people's business. We're not busybodies. We don't get into other people's business, do we? But go to Proverbs 26. And of course, a lot of these verses of wisdom like this are found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book of practical, ethical living. God has given us such a gift in the book of Proverbs. Now, 26, notice with me verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. What a wonderful picture God gives us here. Have you ever walked by a street and saw a dog and went over and grabbed his ears? Is that a good idea? Neither is it to get into other people's business. It'll come back to bite you. We don't have to know everything about everybody else. We don't have to say something about everybody else. We don't have to put our 2 cents in. See? To meddle is like grabbing a dog by the ears. And the dog doesn't like it either. Let alone the fact he's going to bite you. It's a great picture. At first we read it and we chuckle. But consider the truth of it. To grab a dog that you don't know and it doesn't know you by the ears, you're asking for big trouble. And God says it's the same thing. When it's not your business, stay out of that business. What words of wisdom? Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. Along the same lines. Notice with me verses 11 and 12. Paul says to the Thessalonian believers, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but our busybodies. Now, them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." All right, so stay out of other people's business. When you're in other people's business, it doesn't belong to you. You're a busybody, according to God. And you ought to stick to your own business and eat your own bread. Chew on your own issues and business. That's good wisdom. That's good wisdom. Again, picture that dog. See? Busybodies get into more trouble because they just get to run that tongue. They get to run their mouth. They got to put their 2 cents in about, well, he or this or she that. Or I don't think they should. Well, no one asked you what you thought. Amen. In many cases. Now, there are some cases where if you're considered a person of wisdom, they might ask you your opinion. See? But getting to other people's business unwarranted is unhealthy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, back up one book. Notice verse 11. "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. I think it's interesting, the wording there. I mean, yes, your own business, right? Speaks to that. Do your own business. But study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. How do you study? Don't you meditate? You're quiet. Give some thought. That means you got to stop your tongue for a little bit. To study to be quiet, to be quiet. To get all the facts. To speak with wisdom. Or maybe wisdom dictates you don't speak. And if it's not your business, you be quiet. If all of these were applied in all of our lives, we would always get along. That's an amazing thing. God has given us all we need to be victorious in our Christian life, to enjoy our Christian life. 1 Timothy 5, and notice verses 13 and 15. And withal, verse 13, and withal they learn to be idle. Now this is reference, the context is verse 11, the younger widows. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, in other words, not doing what they should be doing, they should be busy, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Don't open the door. Our words open the door for a lot of feedback, you see. And I make references back to technology every once in a while for all of this. And certainly when things are said online, Facebook or whatever, it opens the door for others. And in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. There's no lack of opportunity to hurt, to offend. You see, a lot of it's pride, rooted in pride. And there are many, many causes. I would say pride is probably the number one. But, you know, well, I want to make this right. Good luck with that. The Bible says in the multitude of words, in the multitude of texts, in the multitude of Facebook entries, postings, there wanteth not sin. Can it be used for good? Absolutely. The phone is not wicked. There's no wickedness in technology. It's in the use thereof. And the fact that it's so multiplied from just a conversation with one, two, three, or people in a room, when it goes to online, when it goes to... It can get viral. It goes to so many people. And how those so many people receive it can differ one from another. And you have to be very, very careful, very wise. Because in truth, if you're known to be a Christian, you affect the testimony, your personal testimony, and that of a Christian. Some of these things should not be on there. We're talking about other people's business, so we certainly have no place in there. And this idea of tattlers and this house to house, you know, it's great to visit and have fellowship. But be careful around the coffee. Be wise. Be discreet. May you not have anything to regret once you leave that conversation. And we're warned in the multitude of words. So, that doesn't mean you can't get together and have fun. Absolutely. But be careful. We receive from God, a loving Father, words of wisdom, you know. And it's great to fellowship. And I love coffee. It's all good, man. And if you get something to wash down with the coffee, it's even better. But be careful of the conversations. All right, guard against words in other people's business. All right, guard against words that will mar someone's reputation. But doesn't that go without saying? But why does it happen? Just a little dirt has to be shared. Why? Do we feel empowered? We feel a little better about ourselves because we're able to share a little dirt upon this person or about that person? The carnal man's wicked, and we all fight it. We need to be very careful. Nose in the book. Keep your Bible open, right? Let God have his influence, his impact in us, in our mind, our thinking, and our conversations. Marring somebody else's reputation is a horrible thing to do. Turn to Proverbs 16. Look at a couple of verses in this regard. In Proverbs 16, verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. It's funny how there can be such a compulsion. I gotta tell somebody what I know or what I have heard about this person, that person, or whatever. It's burning, man. Just can't wait to share it, you know. But it's an ungodly man that does that. Instead of looking at the strengths, the attributes of an individual, and lifting them up and encouraging them. That doesn't mean if they're in sin that you're giving approval to the sin. But God can take care of that. That's not your job. Use words to encourage, to edify, to build up, not to cut people down and hurt their reputation. It's tragic when that happens in a church. People cast these shadows on certain individuals. It's wicked. God help us. Guard our tongues. Be a helper of the church, a helper of the brethren, a helper of God, to be a blessing, to be an encourager. Listen, every one of us has weaknesses. And you want to dig up some dirt? Man, you spend enough time. You don't even have to spend enough time on me. You can do it pretty quick. Ask Patty a few things. Just 3 questions and I'm done. No, the fact is, not one of us is perfect. And this idea of digging up dirt and sharing with somebody else. What's that verse again? 16:27. Diggeth up evil. An ungodly diggeth up evil. And in his lips is a burning fire. Just get a few golden nuggets on somebody. And then there's the rationalization of it by a Christian who says, well, we might pray for this brother. So we can pray for this sister. That's the only reason I'm sharing this. They did this. But we should pray for them. We should pray for them. Let's pray. God help us. As if God doesn't know our thoughts, our mind, our hearts. And the devil just fueling everything, you know. Give you all that you need. Man, you want dirt? He'll help you find the dirt. Because he knows it'll cause some strife, some contention. Words are powerful. And words on your through technology are multiplied. It can be that much more powerful. You need to be careful about other people's reputation. Proverbs 17:9. You have the power to destroy people. Isn't that awesome? How about the power to lift people up? 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. He covereth. He doesn't have to share about what so-and-so did or so-and-so said. He seeketh love. He's godly. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Repeateth a matter. You know what that means? That's the pipeline, the gossip line. Repeateth. Oh, really? Oh, don't worry, I won't say a thing. Hello? Yes, guess what? And it goes on and on and on and on. It's rampant in the world. Sometimes it's just as rampant among the church, if we're not careful. I'm not saying our church. May we be careful. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love. There's his motive, see? But he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Help us, God. All right, number 10, guard against words which incite discord and contention. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. All right, use wisdom with your words. You can actually take somebody off down that hill of anger there, ready to explode. Talk them down. A soft answer turneth away wrath. How we approach it, how we say what we say. But grievous words stirreth up anger. And God help us not to be the one that stirs, that incites discord. 16:28. Proverbs 16:28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. All these things kind of tie together, don't they? They do. The gossiper, the tattler, the busybody. I'm in this business and that. Oh, and I've got to share. Oh, and I've got to whisper it because I don't want everybody to know until I personally tell each one. Whispers, they all go together. How wicked it is in the eyes of God, sowing discord among the brethren. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separate chief friends. Go to Proverbs 6. Here speaks of the seven abominations. Here's one of the abominable seven in verse 19. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You know what these seven abominations are? They're something that God hates. He looks at with disgust. It's an abomination to him. Now, if it's in the top seven list, I think, and God has told us about it, we'd be in big trouble to be a party to any of it, sowing discord among the brethren. Just because you become privy to certain information doesn't mean that you have liberty to use it against them or to edify yourself in your eyes or in the eyes of others. And that's often what it's used for. Because the badder they are, the better I look. I push them down and I rise up in my sight, in my eyes. That's the carnal man's perspective. The devil fuels it. See, but if God hates it, this idea of sowing discord, be careful what you have to tell to somebody else. Share that which is good. Sharing good stuff makes people more desirable as a friend, you know, to know them, to like them, to help them, because you've said some good things about them. All right, number 11. Guard against words that support the wicked. Now, go to Proverbs 24 and I'll explain this. That support the wicked. Sometimes, just want to get in good with this person or that person, or, you know, they're a person of value, of stature. Maybe it's the boss. Just want to look good in his eyes. So, sharing things or whatever he might say, we kind of say, well, that's okay. 24:24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. So there's an approval given to the wicked. Thou art righteous. They're calling them something they're not. A lot of people, you know, buttering up the boss. Well, it doesn't apply just to the boss. It's when any of our use of words, calling it something good when it's not, encouraging somebody so that I might win their influence, their approval. When it comes to technology, when you like it, you're giving approval, thumbs up. That's a great statement. You're the man. You know, be careful. Use it sparingly. Because the big picture may not know that you may not know the big picture. But there's warning here about, and usually it's that desire to be accepted in their sight. Often someone who stands in authority over them, like I use the boss, and saying, well, yeah, you're good. That's good. That's great. Wow. Hope he doesn't do that. Or the words that he said, you know. We need to be very, very careful that we don't support the wicked in that area. Guard, number 12, against words that make sport of sin. Now, let's look at this verse first. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. And look at verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin. They make a mockery, they joke about it. But among the righteous, there is favor. Now, give that thought. Fools make a mock at sin. In other words, they think it's funny. There may be some of you in this room, but probably very few, that have never laughed at sin. For instance, a joke about somebody being drunk. Well, the drunkenness never gave God any pleasure. And he warns against it in the Word of God. But somehow we can make a pretty good funny on that. He was so drunk. It's wickedness. I've been guilty of it. But warned in the Word of God, that's, you sort of give tantamount to an approval in some way. And you certainly highlight it. And if it's funny, then it can't be all that bad. You know? We need to be careful that we don't make jokes about sin. And the world's full of that. They make all kinds of wicked sins, jokes about drinking and things done in private. Ha, ha, ha. You that got saved later in life, you were likely part of that whole scene. Things we used to think were so funny. It's not really funny at all. It's sin for which Jesus died. He died on the cross for all sins. So we need to guard against words that make sport of sin, that laugh at sin. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. God's calling it a sin flat out. And so to get a laugh out of it is not really worth the laugh, not in the eyes of God. So I need to be guarded against doing such thing. All right, guard against words you might hear. Proverbs 17, 4. What do you mean against words I might hear? I don't know I'm going to hear them. There's some things that may come across your ears that you wish you didn't hear. But there are some things you can prevent. Proverbs 17, verse 4. A wicked doer giveth heed, listens to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So we're talking about false lips, naughty tongue. There are some persons, some people, that generally this is what comes out of them. It's not right. You're not supposed to listen to them. Don't give ear. So that you don't have to hear that stuff. You know, online, there are some in Facebook and other things. Well, you need to defriend them. Is that what they call it? Defriend? Unfriend. Unfriend them. Because you don't need to keep seeing that over and over. Same thing keeps coming out of them. Protect what you hear. Protect what goes into this. Because it'll affect here. This book is written in an amazing way because it's divine. The principles apply to all generations and all cultures, even to this day and age of technology. This applied well before there was technology. But with today's technology, it still applies. Isn't our God wonderful? Helping peoples of all generations. Okay, so guard against words that you might hear. Guard against dishonest words. Proverbs 14, 5 and 6, 17. Running out of time, so I'm going to give you these verses. 6, 17 is chapter 6. Again, Proverbs 6 is the abomination, seven abominations. It speaks of a lying tongue. dishonest words. Speak truth. You never have to worry about what your story was. Always say truth. You say, but sometimes it's going to be incriminating. All right. Live with it. Face up to it. Don't cover it up. It's where lies mostly come from. Covering up sin, covering up mistakes. Speak honest. Always speak honest. 15, guard against unclear words. Think before pressing send when it comes to technology. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Be careful. Weigh out what you're saying or sending. Here's an example. A woman texts her husband requesting permission to purchase an expensive bracelet. His reply, no, price too high. She read it, no price too high. Make sure you use your comma. In other words, reread it. In this day of spell check and the check thing, can you believe some of the messages, how it changed what you were saying? And I don't know, I should know by now, but read it before you reread it again. You've read it once, reread it again, then hit send. Inevitably, it changes some of the words. And then you quickly go back to change that word. You know? It's the same thing comes out of our mouth, not just technology. Think before you speak, before you send. Amen? Guard against the compulsion to express words. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, great verses there about it's a time for every purpose in heaven. In 7, it says a time to be silent. You know the time to be silent? And earlier on, yes, last Sunday, we talked about in Proverbs 17:27-28, the verses that from which came the phrase, better to be silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Well, 17 and 18, 28-29 of that of chapter 17 speak to that very thing. That's where that came from. And so this compulsion to speak words, got to say something all the time. You set yourself up for a fall. Why? Because of our launching verse, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, Proverbs 10:19. And then I'll have one more. Regarding communication, remember, communication is not limited to words. Whether spoken or sent by text, email, this and that. Also, pictures that are sent. Be careful. Some are thought to be very funny. Maybe they're not so funny in the eyes of God. Maybe they can give a bad perspective. You see. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Be our last verse. We'll get ready to close here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse 9, great instruction, ladies in particular. Note, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls and costly array. To look good is fine. It's not saying don't look good, don't do what you can to look good and pretty and all that stuff. But may that not be what you rely upon, and make sure that you are modest. Let me give you a couple of definitions in that regard. I'm talking about pictures that are sent. Seems to be an obsession with some females, usually younger, to send pictures that have this provocative perspective. They're trying to line up with what they see in the world, see? And so they feel this pressure to look good and have this provocative look. Don't send those pictures. To be modest means to be restrained by a sense of propriety, not bold, arrogant, boastful, or lewd. Shamefacedness, it means to be bashful and modest. Sending those pictures is not something of modesty that suggests modesty. No, it's just the opposite. It says, look at me. That's part of communication. So, you know, we've spent a couple of lessons last week and this week. I'm talking about communicating in every form, be it verbally, gestures, what communication to involve in ourselves in and what not to, including technology and how it multiplies our communication. Exponentially, it's incredible how words that you say sent out. And then this, they call it sexting. How wicked. God help you and I as Christians to be guarded in our thoughts, which happens by spending time in the Word of God, then God gives us the wisdom and the discretion for communicating in a way that's godly. So and let me just share these few verses for closing. Colossians 4:6. These should be the goal. Let your speech be always with grace. That means always with grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how to you ought to answer every man. That's good. That's good. Always with grace. Your speech. Your communication. Ephesians 4:29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. That should be our goal. That should be our goal. Father in heaven, thank you for all of the admonitions. We only looked at a few, really, in the Word of God that help us regarding the great power of communication and therefore the great responsibility for the Christian in his communication. Help us to apply these truths, give thought to them, make them personal, not point at others, Father, in our minds, that we might relieve ourselves of any guilt, but Father, may we apply these truths to ourselves. May we represent Christ each and every day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.